In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone here without sin? I'm very grateful no one raised their hand. You know, I'm always a little hesitant to ask those rhetorical questions because I know there are smart alecks out there in the congregation, just as there is one up here at the pulpit. And the answer is no. Because each and every human being is born in sin. We are born with the stain of original sin. We are born with our intellects and wills darkened. And we are born with a tendency towards sin. And some of those remain even after we are baptized and the fault of sin is washed away. It is a very good thing, then, that the church is made for sinners, but sinners who want to be saints. A very good thing. Because we are sinners, and sometimes we try to justify our sins. Sometimes we say to ourselves, oh, it doesn't matter, it was a little white lie. I said it to spare someone's feelings. Doesn't matter. Or you might say, oh, it doesn't matter, I took something from the store, they're a big corporation, they can afford it, they have insurance. It doesn't matter. The justifications for sin are endless. I hear them all the time in the confessional. And here's a pro tip for you. It's a really good way to get a really big penance. Try to justify your sin. We are sinners who want to be saints, and we are sinners who want to help other people be saints, because we are not in this alone. And sometimes it requires a friend or a brother or sister in Christ to point out our sin to us so that we can turn from it, because we have done such a good job in justifying our sins to ourselves. Jesus tells us how to do this in the gospel. And the first principle is, talk to the person themselves. What do we usually do? We talk to everyone but the person. In other words, we gossip. But that's not what Jesus tells us to do. Rather, he says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. And that is the purpose, to win over our brothers and sisters. If he does not listen, then two or three others. If he doesn't listen to them, then take it to the church. If he doesn't listen even to the church, then treat him as you would treat a Gentile or a tax collector. Think about that for a moment. How did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? Did he confirm them in their sins? No, but he didn't write them off either. Rather, he called them to turn from their sins and to repent. We never give up on anyone. It is so important that we proclaim the gospel truth to everybody. It's especially important in our own day and age when the gospel truth is viewed at best with indifference and usually with outright hostility. You want an unpleasant experience? Tell people what they don't want to hear. They will try to get even. But we are required to say something. Think about our first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord told Ezekiel that he had to speak to his brothers, because if he did not, he would be guilty of their sin. But if he spoke to them, and even if they didn't turn from their sins, he would have done a good deed which atoned for his own sins. Now ask yourself, why do we do this? Why do we proclaim the truth? We do it because we love our brothers and sisters, and we want them to end up where Jesus wants them, where he wants us to end up, in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.